But God, if you'd touch my lips, God, help me preach a word to him that is weary in his season. God, please. I love you this morning. I need you. God, I need you. I need you more than my daily bread. I pray, Father, for each one that's here. God, I pray that you'd help, God, each individual. If there's one lost, God, walking outside of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that you'd save them today. God, even now, go to them and show them their need to be born again, washed in the blood of Christ. Go to them even now, Father. Show them the great riches there is to have in Christ. Father, again, I love you and ask you to help me this morning. Help me preach the Word of God in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you was to come by 106 Rainbow Drive in the past couple of weeks and opened my door, you would have heard the sound of three hammers smacking steel coming through my little JBL speaker. I've been fascinated with blacksmiths as of late. You can be turning to Job chapter 29 this morning. I've been absolutely fascinated with Japanese sword making. I know that's weird, but it's amazing to me. And upon opening my door, you would hear the sound of two sledgehammers smacking a piece of red-hot steel. Wham! Wham! And the sound of the master with the small hammer in his hand as he directs the hammer blow of his apprentices. Wham! 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 Tink! Wham! Wham! Tink! That master is guiding those sledgehammers. He's looking for those impurities. He's looking for the dross. He's looking for that in the steel that makes it weak. He's searching it out. Make no mistake about it. If you are in Christ this morning, you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God, in the book of Malachi, is likened unto a refiner's fire. If you were to walk into my house as of late, you would hear the sound of the wind and the wind moving as the steel is placed into those hot coals. And as the blacksmith pulls it out, whoosh, and the sound of the steel laying on the anvil. And the deep breath that those apprentices take before they swing with all their might and flatten that piece of steel. Job chapter 29 is the dross. Job chapter 29 is what happens. It's what's happened to me the past couple of weeks. And it's what happens to you, child of God, when your life is difficult. When your life is hard and there is no ready-made explanation and there is no one there who can talk to you. There's no one there that can make sense out of what's happening. And if there's anyone who ever experienced such a circumstance, it's Job. It is the central topic. It has been the central topic of debates for thousands of years. Because in the book of Job, the one question is this: who is God? What is He like? What can I expect from Him in my walk with Him? Job chapter 29, Job's already experienced the loss of all of those dear to him in marital strife. He's estranged from his own wife. His life is plunged into darkness. He has lost his health. And it was God that recommended it happen all. All of it happened to him. It was God. Job was a good man. There was none like Job. He was a special man. He was held in high esteem. And everyone that knew him loved him. But deep in the confines of Job's heart, there was nestled there something that's found in most all of us. Not all men struggle the same way. Everybody's different in their temperament. Everybody has issues. Job, though he was a good man, he was yet a self-righteous man. As good of a man as he was, as special of a man as he was, Job chapter 29 puts this on full display. This is the dross. This is why God does these things to His people. God recommends that His people be stuck in the furnace because He's not content to allow those things to lie dormant deep inside of you. Make no mistake about it. It is God Himself that must purge these things from you. And He wants to do so. Job chapter 29. This is the heat. This is where the rubber has met the road. Job is revealed to himself. You don't even know yourself this morning. I assure you, you don't fully understand yourself as you sit in this pew. But there is a God in heaven that will show you who you are. He will. He is not content for you to be spineless. He is not content for you to be weak. He wants you to be like Joshua. He wants you to be like Caleb, a man that'll stand up and resist the devil, that will fight him, a man that'll be willing to die for Jesus Christ, a man that'll be willing to die for those whom he loves. But to be a man of power, you have to be a man or a woman that is stuck in the furnace of God. There is no other way. Job, verse 2, chapter 29. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Many men have likened the secret of God to the special, the wonderful, passionate communion between God and His people. His secret was upon me. That secret relationship where my heart was ravished. My way before me was not dark. It was clear when the Almighty was yet with me. When my children were about me, I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and I stood up. If you were to go by my house, said Job, My steps were clean. The rocks of my house shined. The rock poured out oil for me. All of my provisions were delivered to me. I had everything. I lacked nothing. The princes, the people in authority, refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. He was held in such esteem that when he walked in, it's almost as if the President of the United States has walked in. Men said, I don't want to say anything wrong. Job's here. That mighty man of God just walked in. I better watch what I say. The children hid themselves away from his presence. The nobles held their peace. Those in highest esteem wouldn't open their mouth. Their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. That's what happens to a man when he's afraid. You ever been in the presence of a man and terror struck your heart? A powerful man. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Nobody ignored Job's presence. Verse 12, because. This is Job's explanation of his life. And that's what you have to see. This is the unveiling. This is understanding. If you want to understand the book of Job, listen to what he says about himself. Because I delivered the poor that cried, the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. If there was a child in need, if there was a person in need in the land of Uz, Job was there. Verse 13, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. The woman that lost her husband and was the widows of this day and age, they were the most destitute in society. They had no one. Nobody. But there was Job. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die. Remember, Job is recounting the days when he felt like God was with him. But what he does not understand, what he did not understand, is that God was closer to him now than he'd ever been. God loves beyond anything that you could possibly imagine or that you could possibly fathom. You cannot possibly begin to understand the capacity of God to love His people. You remember the parable of the unjust judge? He created the anti-type of God. Jesus did in that parable. He said, this judge does not regard man. He doesn't regard anything. He doesn't care. And this widow that comes to me and troubles me, he said that unjust judge would deliver that woman. If an unjust, wicked man would deliver a woman for just begging him, how much more does God care for his people? How much more will God deliver his people that cry to him night and day? But Job said, God is no longer with me. He has snuffed me out. The dross. The hammer blow. God has forsaken me. I break the jaws of the wicked. I pluck the spoil out of his teeth. He thought he was going to take advantage of some person. And I came out of nowhere and I knocked him out. And I said, how dare you try to take advantage? That's what Job said. I delivered these people. Then I said, I shall die in my nest. I shall multiply my days as the sand. He had come to the conclusion, because of the righteous life that he was living, he drew the conclusion, I'll go down to my nest and I will kick back. I will continue to do what I've always done, and God will be with me. My root was spread out by the waters. The dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me. My bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence and my counsel. After my words, they spake not again. Job said, if I open my mouth, I solve the problem. Job was yet self-righteous. Verse 23, they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. In the light of my countenance, they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. And verse 30 is the comparison. But now, they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. There are people now, after all of this has happened to me, after everything has been swept away, and I am covered in these filthy, pus-filled sores, now the same people that I would not have dared to take care of my dogs are the same people that are laughing at me. I wouldn't have put their daddy with my dogs. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, and desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes, juniper roots for their meat. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, in the caves of the earth, and in the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed. Under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools. Yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And now I am their song. Yea, I am their byword. These evil people now use me as a joke, said Job. You don't want to wind up like him, do you? You don't want to wind up like Job, do you? No. He went from being royalty to a joke overnight. One day's time. Can you hear the hammer blow? Wham! Can you hear the anvil ring as the dross rises up? and the blacksmith takes the scrape and cleans off the top of that steel. Oh, but the blacksmith has much more than that. He has many, many weapons in his arsenal. They fold that steel. They take an axe, and when that thing is red hot, they take it and they put it down on that axe, and they are on that steel, and they slam it, and the sparks fly. The shrapnel flies. Everything that's not perfect flies out of that steel. Wham! Wham! And they split it, and they flip it over on the anvil, and they flip that piece over, and they beat them together over and over and over again. And you look down a piece of Damascus steel, carbon steel that's been polished. You see layer after layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. And you see this design going down the blade, because the backside is a hardened piece of iron that blacksmith, he took that steel and he took that iron and he put them together and he put them on the anvil and he slammed them together. Why did he do that? Because the iron is harder than the steel, but the steel has a better cutting edge. I'm telling you that God very particularly knows exactly what to do with you, when to do it. My friend, the best thing you can do right now, and for the rest of your days, mark it down. No matter what happens to you, no matter where you find yourself, come hell or high water, you have to trust God. You will feel the hammer blow. He will heat you up time and time again. He will make you peculiar and special. But what doesn't cost anything is worth nothing. Pay the cost. Walk with God. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust Him with all your heart. Job chapter 32, observe. Elihu, the young man, stood up. He said, I've had enough. These white-headed people have been talking and talking and talking and ain't doing nothing. And he goes on, Bildad says, just because a man's old don't mean he's wise. Observe verse 1. The conclusion of all their talking. These three men ceased to answer Job. Why? Because he was righteous in his own eyes. Pride is the carbon monoxide of sin. It lies deep in the confines of who we are. It is what we are. There must be a process to draw out the self-righteous pride of man. In fact, such is God's way of salvation, turns pride inside out. You can't save yourself. It does not matter if you fast 3 times a week and you are in church every time the doors are open and you pray and you call every single name in this congregation out 3 times a day. It does not matter. God requires one thing of you, and that is to turn your pride inside out. Throw your hands up and say, I collapse. I cannot save myself. Jesus, I commit my case to you. It's awful. It's bad, Lord, but you said you could save me. So here it is. Here I am, my whole man. I'm holding nothing back. God is all about turning men inside out. I can't save myself. I'm miserable. Lord Jesus, please. I'm mastered by sin. My life has mastered me. God's program is turning pride inside out. Job justified himself rather than God. Rather than God. Now turn with me to chapter 38. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Hang with me. If you're there, say amen. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" What that means is the light of counsel has come in. But Job would open his mouth and cast darkness on the counsel. He's hiding the light. He's pushing it aside. And we're all tempted to do that from time to time. You hear the good word of God. You hear reproof and rebuke and exhortation. Job cast his words, his self-righteousness, he threw it on the light and he didn't heed it. But when God showed up, God said, "Who is this that's casting darkness upon light? Who is this that's not listening? He's hiding counsel without knowledge. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." God said, "Okay, Job, it's time for you to answer me." I don't know about you. I don't know why you came to church this morning. I know why I came this morning. I need chapter 38 in my life, in my experience. I need God to show up and speak to me. Whether it's in rebuke or encouragement or whatever it is. When God showed up for Job, it wasn't to encourage him. It wasn't to apologize to him. It wasn't to explain to him why all of this has happened to him. And to the world, that's reprehensible. They hate the book of Job. Listen to them talk about it. They say, "I don't understand it. Here's a good man. He's a good guy. He does all this stuff for other people. And what does God do to him? He just destroys him." And then Job complains the whole time. And then his friends come and just blow after blow after blow after blow. And it never stops and it never stops. That's how the world sees this book. You know how a child of God sees the book of Job? God will perfect that which concerns me. The work that He started in my heart, He will complete. What God starts, He finishes. And when He does something, it's forever and ever and ever. God works eternal things in His people, things that can't be undone. The world does not understand that. The life of faith trusts God even when it's impossible. When it seems impossible to trust Him. Turn to chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" Job, are you trying to tell me how to do it again? Are you trying to explain to me how your life works? Are you trying to tell me what you need again, Job? Well, do tell. God said, explain it to me. Instruct me, Job. What do you need? You want to contend with me? Then tell me. What is it you need? What did Job respond? Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." What happened? What happened? The weighty presence of God has now come. God has come. The man is turned inside out. The blacksmith is smacking that steel. Wham! Wham! I'm vile. What have I done? What have I said? I can't believe I said those things. I can't believe I complained. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. Who am I? Who am I to answer God? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken. I've said all I had to say. But I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. I don't know what you need this morning. But I need a mighty God. The mighty God, the almighty I am that I am, to come and wrestle this man to the ground and have his way with me. That's what I need. And whether you know it or not, that's what you need too. For the Nazarene to come grab you by the wrist and show you how strong those carpenter's arms are. And he needs you to grab a hold back and say, "I will not let you go. I refuse to let you go. There's too much wrong. There's too much that I don't understand. I can't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me." There's something about the heart and mind of God that wants a child of God to grab a hold of Him and say, "I gotta have you. I will have you. I'll stop at nothing. I'll stop at nothing to have God, to know God, for Him to answer me and for Him to fix all the craziness in my life." There's something about God. Ooh, that says Esau, "You give me away for a bowl of food, but Jacob would give it all to know me. I'm pleased with that man. Even though he's just as wicked as Esau, he wants me. He wants me." So again, I bring us back around full circle to Job 42. What's Job's final answer? Job is humbled in the presence of God. Job, the work is accomplished. I've been watching, like I said, the Japanese blacksmiths working those swords. And I just watch it and watch it and watch it. I love it. It's a picture of what God does to each one of His people. This perfect, particular work. That's what we see. By faith, we're not looking at what's seen. We're not looking at what we can understand. We look to that which is not seen. The unseen reality of God making you like Christ. That's valuable. That's worth something. That cannot be taken away from you. What's Job's answer? I know. Thou canst do everything. Now I know, despite it all, you can do everything. No thought can be withholden from thee. Everything that has passed between my ears is written in your book. I know that now. One of the main questions is, does God see me? Has He forgotten me? Where am I? Where are you, God? Why have you left me to die out here? Now Job knows different. There is no thought that can be withholden from you. You were there for every waking second, every minute. You saw me there. Verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He can only repeat himself. I never. He's angry with himself. He said, my big mouth. He doesn't say a word about what he's experienced. He doesn't say a word about his hardship. He doesn't say a word about anything. But there in the presence of God, he says with David, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I should have never complained. I should have never doubted. God, I'm sorry. The darkness of doubt took hold of me and I couldn't see where I was going. I couldn't do anything. I felt like you were gone. I felt like you left me. Oh God, I'm sorry. Now I know you never left me. I have uttered that I understood not. I thought I understood. I thought I had it all mapped out. I thought I knew why all these things were happening to me. But I didn't know a thing. I didn't know things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. No chastisement, the present, is joyous. It's not enjoyable getting your butt tore up. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. when everything is done, and God takes you through this season, that season, you might not even be able to tell that He's doing something to you. Remember, it's not about what you can see. It's not about what you can feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. Child of God, believe Him. Trust Him. Has He not proven Himself to you? Has His mercy failed you? Absolutely not. Has His compassions failed you? No. They haven't. No, they haven't. And they never will. Such is the gracious character of God. I have heard of thee, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I have read the accounts, said Job. I have read books. I have heard all about this King of glory. But now I am in the very presence of an F5 tornado, and it is none other than the Lord of hosts Himself. Now, I've seen you for myself. I have heard you speak for myself. What's the result? I abhor myself. I'm sick of me. And repent in dust and ashes. You want to know what that means? Dust on the head, sorrow and repentance, humbled. God, I'm so sorry for what I said. I will never do that again. And it was so, after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Remember when I said your friend's in trouble, you better be quiet and let them be. Don't be too quick to say anything. Because it might just be that God gets really mad at you. My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. I want to give you the conclusion in closing. You've not spoken of me the thing that is right. You have not properly illustrated who I am. That was God's charge against them. You did not represent to Job who I am. You just spewed accusations. Surely you're an adulterer, Job. Surely you have a secret life, Job. Surely you got all these things going on in darkness. Otherwise, all of this wouldn't be happening to you. You know what that does to somebody who's broken into a million pieces? Oh, it's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. I'll accept Job's prayer for you. For him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. I think it'd be befitting for some soft music about now. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. It's like God had arranged for that perfect time. The ones that have been injuring you, the ones that have been harming you after all of this happened. That set time, he prayed for them. And that's when the Lord turned everything around. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him. They cried over everything that had happened to him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons, 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third, Kerin Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair. Don't you love the details of the Lord? There was not a woman more beautiful in all the land than the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years. Saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Do you think God hates you this morning? He doesn't. It's so easy when your life falls apart not to think of God in the correct light. Everything He does, He has a good reason for doing it. Everything He does. No exceptions. His way is perfect, said the psalmist. Won't you come and pray? That's all I know to do. Myself. Amen.